Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 129 of Season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me for the finale of this season on this special Sunday episode is Jay Cluett of the Deep Blue Sea Pod. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you, Rob. Thrilled to be back here to finish out another season.
Yes. Always fun having you start, having you end, you know, and, you know, I'm going to have you on for most of this coming week also. So that works well.
Sure,
too.
Sure. You know, and I get a week off listening.
Well, no, you get 4 days off. You know, we'll get to that. You know, we'll have five episodes off. Let's put it that way. How's that?
Sure.
You know. Yes. You know, people will have to start listening later this week to find out what it is that we're talking about. You know, but we'll see. All right, so minute 129 continues with the thanks in the credits and ends with fade to black, the end of the movie.
We get the tail end of the Noah's Ark song playing.
That is correct. you're still going with that, aren't you? Even though we both know
that's what it is.
No, it's not, but whatever. That's the original. The original is not, but that's fine. It's okay as long as it's in Jay's mind that's the way it is. I'm willing to entertain that idea.
I could sing these supposed lyrics more times than I've ever heard the Noah's Ark song, but to me, it's still gonna be the Noah's Ark song.
Okay, yeah. Again, you are allowed to still believe that. I don't have a problem with that.
Can't take it away from me.
No, I understand. And I won't. I will leave that for you. That's perfectly okay. So there isn't really much to talk about in this minute itself. I mean, we have a whole bunch of thanks to different people. We have Mr. Stefano Corti, Cagaiva North America, Inc., Ducati Motorcycles, Joe Stuper and Sons Trucking and Rigging, Ford Motor Company, Pepsi-Cola, Goodyear, GMC, St. Thomas Center and Aiken Butte or Bo. That's pretty much what we got here.
I was trying to think if I can't remember there being any Ducatis in the film, like the motorcycles. There's not like any memorable motorcycle sequences that I can recall. So maybe they were just used in like production.
Well, the only motorcycles that are in the movie is there's a certain point, and I think Jim was on during that week, where, you know, John drives through this area that has a whole bunch of bikes and motorcycles and like runs over them, you know, when he's trying to get across New York. So maybe that's what it is. Maybe they gave them those motorcycles for them to run over. That's as close as I can get to it, but you're right. It could be something that was used in the production also, you know, which sort of makes
maybe
sense. Also, which does make sense. But again, we'll never know. See, that's one of the things that's a little bit annoying about credits is you don't always know the reasons why things are written there. You know, there's no commentary explaining, you know, we put that in there because we did this. I mean, come on, we can go back to both Die Hard 1 and Die Hard 2. You know, they have the thanks to the knife company, where in Die Hard 1 there are no knives. So, you know, or there's someone knows. That's just the way it is. Not much else you can do about that. And then, you know, we get the typical end of movies stuff where they, you know, show us the MPAA number and the copyright and the Dolby Stereo digital and the fact that this is a union movie because it's affiliated with the AFL-CIO and things like that, and you know then the typical events, characters and firms depicted in this photoplay are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead or to actual events or firms is purely coincidental. And then the whole idea of the lawyer blah blah that they continue with this, you know, talking about that if you copy anything, including the soundtracks, we're gonna go and prosecute you, you know, severe civil and criminal penalties. Then they talk about the fact that THX The THX Theater Alignment Program did quality assurance for the movie. And if there's anything that bothered you while making this movie during the theatrical presentation, feel free to call Lucasfilm and complain to them. You know, at 1-800-PHONE-THX. I wonder if that's still a, you know, still a phone number that works or not. Who knows?
So I always read that. I've had too many texts from you or messages from you. I now read that as 1-800-THANKS. Because you always do THX as thanks in your.
I don't do THX. I do TNX.
I thought this is, well, it's similar enough.
Well, apparently Jay doesn't know the difference between an H and an S, but that's fine. Yeah.
Either way.
Wait, just,
it's three extra letters.
Okay, that's true. You're saying I'm the only person who writes that to you that way? Nobody
yep.
else?
Yep. Absolutely. Really? Completely. Everyone else writes. Thanks.
Well, thank okay. All right. I will try to be better with that in the future.
No, you're fine.
You know, not to make you think that I work for THX or anything like that. Yeah, I completely understand that. And then we get a credit for distributed by 20th Century Fox, which they give it a few seconds, you know, and then just fade to black. That's it. End of the movie. They don't even say Die Hard with a Vengeance at the end or anything like that.
John McClane exactly, will return. Nothing.
Well, because it's a trilogy, so why would you? Why would you need John McClane to return if it's a trilogy? Potentially, maybe. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
See.
He will return. Will he return here on this podcast? Who knows?
Possibly.
If we do, we
neither do I. At this point. I don't know either. We'll have to wait and see. Look, John McClane will return. The question is in what format? That's the question. That's what we will debate. You know, we'll have to wait and see how that works. Okay, so sure. One thing that we do at the end of every season is allow first of all Jay to try and guess. Two things for each of the daily segments. First of all, to try and guess, you know, which movies or which, you know, which guesses were the top guesses over the course of the entire season, and obviously which one will be mine. Which do you want to do first? We'll start with McTiernan Monday. Which one would you rather do? You want mine first order to help you, you know, tally them up?
We should start with yours because yours are then going to be included in the group one. I feel okay. like
That's fair. That is fair.
So my guess for your top five for McTiernan Monday, I think you've got Basic at number five, Predator at number four, Die Hard with a Vengeance at number three, Hunt for October at number two, and a little film called Die Hard at number one.
Okay, well, four of those appear on my list. One of them is in the right slot.
Sure. So I'm guessing Basic doesn't appear on your list?
No, it does not.
I haven't seen Basic, so I was just kind of taking a
I saw it once, and I wasn't the biggest fan of it.
So let's swap that. I feel like Last Action Hero wouldn't be on your top five. I think, so Thomas Cranmer?
No.
Is it Last Action Hero?
Yes, it is.
Okay, fine.
And it's going to be sure, and it's going to be much higher than you thought.
Right. Well, I'm going to keep Die Hard at number one because that just feels correct. Is that the correct one?
Is Die Hard is number one. Yes. Sure. It will get 5 points.
Okay. So then let's put Last Action Hero number two.
Very good.
Then Hunt for October number three.
Nope.
Predator at number
three. Predator number three.
Hunt for October at number four?
No.
Oh, so Die Hard with Avengers number four.
Die Hard with Avengers number four and Hunt for October number five.
Hunt for October.
Okay,
I thought you would have had that one higher.
I like Hunt for October. I'm still upset that you know Simon beat me out I think it was The Great Escape. You know, for a movie that went back years ago when you know when he won Hunt for October, which forced you to actually watch it. But I like The Hunt for October a lot. I really do. But I like these four other movies much better. I'm a huge fan of The Last Action Hero. I think it's an amazing idea, especially for someone like me who loves movie parodies and movies and things like that. So, you know, I was able to get a lot of the jokes, even at the time. I have been someone who has always liked it. I know that there were, at the time when it came out, a lot of people didn't like it, and it took a while for people to warm up to it, I guess you could say. I'm not one of those people, and I'm still a big fan of it. Who knows? Maybe one season I will decide to do Last Action Hero. I don't know. We'll have to see.
I'd be on board with that. I've always liked it as well, but I think I first saw it when I was 10 or 12, so I was like a good age for...
Correct. You probably didn't get most of the jokes at the time, because I doubt as a 10-year-old you understood the Sylvester Stallone shot of him, the poster of him as the Terminator.
No, I mean, I didn't go like, hey, that's Al Leong. I didn't exactly know who he was at that point.
That's right. Right. Okay. Understandable. Okay. Okay, so let's see what you think of the top five from everyone who's been on this entire season.
Number five, Last Action Hero. Number four, Hunt for October. Number three, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Number two, Predator. Number one, Die Hard.
Okay, so the 20 people, 28 people that have been on, that have given their ideas about these things. So you are obviously correct about... I think four out of five. Wait, go back through the list again. Okay, you said Die Hard was on the list, Die Hard with a Vengeance, Hunt for October,
Predator and Last Action Hero.
Predator and Last Action Hero. Okay, so yes, those are the top five. That is correct.
Okay.
So you, which one do you think gets the least number of points?
I had Last Action Hero.
And you would be correct. It is the Last Action Hero that is. It got 44 points, including the 4 points for me. You know, which sure. still. Let's put it this way: the number six movie on the list was Thomas Crown Affair with 27 points. So, you know, it wasn't even close when it comes to that.
Okay.
Okay. So numbers four and three are actually tied, with 70 points.
I had Hunt for October and Die Hard with a Vengeance.
And that is correct. It is both of those. Okay. Number two, which we obviously now know what's number two, had 81 points.
Predator
had 81 points. And number one, Die Hard has 100
with 1,000 points.
115 points.
I got it right. I got the whole list right.
Yes, you did. Very good.
That's never happened before.
Well, you've learned over the years how to do these things, I guess.
I'm going to allow myself for not predicting that Die Hard with a Vengeance and Hunt for October were tied. I'm going to still give myself the win.
That's fine. You can have the winner.
An amazing yes. prediction if I guess
that's
the
right.
tie.
You know, people are going to start using you to prognosticate. Anything they want to know.
Sure.
Except, we're going to have Jay.
Prognosticator of prognosticators.
The Trilogy Tuesdays. So,
yeah, this one's impossible. I've not got it right here. There's no way in hell. Trilogy at this point.
All right, well, let's see how your guesses go.
Well, I need to know first, how many of you on your list are actually trilogies, in that there are only three films in the franchise? And that's...
Wait, define...
That's why I feel like...
Define franchise.
See, you were just saying how difficult this before you started recording. Ours was very difficult. Okay. Yeah, because you made a trilogy. A trilogy should be like Die Hard shouldn't be allowed to be on anyone's list as far as I'm concerned, because it's five Die Hard films. It's not a trilogy. There's not a trilogy within it. No, that's not how trilogies work. Trilogy means three films. So someone has said, I think Jeanette maybe has said, like Captain America. I'll take that. There's a solid Captain America trilogy at this point. Soon there won't be, but right now they could take that. Someone could say The Godfather, because there's three films. Lord of the Rings, I'll take. Hobbit, I'll take, because those are separate trilogies. Star Wars, get out. No.
Okay, so
anyone who's had Star Wars on the list, that list has been set fire to.
Two out of my five are what you would call non-traditional trilogies. Okay.
Okay. One of those is Star Wars.
Yeah.
I actually thought I thought you might have come to this with Star Wars on your list three times,
no,
how much you love the Star Wars franchise. Like, I've got the original trilogy, I've got the prequel trilogy.
No. Only one of them is on there, and only one of them is there, and only one of them should be there.
Okay. So the original Star Wars trilogy is on there. I would guess then maybe Die Hard.
Nope.
That is surprising.
I understand that Die Hard would be probably number 6 or 7 on my list.
Okay. Oh, maybe I know you're a Star Trek fan. So have you got a run of Trek films in there?
In my opinion, as much as I like series, there's no trilogy there. Maybe in the new one. Maybe. Well, we're going to go with the Genesis.
I mean, you could argue the
Genesis,
2, 3, 4.
Again, that's...
I would say...
Yeah, no, I would debate it.
There is a trilogy.
I would debate it, but... I mean, I wouldn't. You know, and I allowed it. You know, we did have, I think, 2 people that put it on their list. One of them even having it as their top choice. But, okay, that's fine. Yes.
Yes, and you can throw that list away. I did think maybe Bond, because you like Bond. Is it like a good triptych of Bond films?
No.
Getting an expression of no from Rob.
Lord of the Rings,
Lord of the Rings put onto your list? Okay. I did think maybe Jack Ryan.
But again, you're trying to guess what is the one that fits in that's not a conventional trilogy.
Yeah, and we've gone through all the ones I thought it might have been. So I
don't know. But you just mentioned Lord of the Rings. Lord of the Rings is a real trilogy.
Yes, sure. So yeah, Lord of the Rings and Star Wars are the two. I feel like I could guess all day, so I feel like it would be just for the for the sake of brevity. You should just say at this point, I failed in this one.
Okay. Understandable. All right. So coming in at number 5. Is the Dark Knight trilogy.
Sure.
Okay. Coming at number 4 is the Back to the Future trilogy.
Yep. Okay. Yeah, I should have guessed that one.
Number 3 is Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Number 2 is something that should have remained a trilogy, but they added on 2 other movies to it afterwards.
Indiana Jones.
Very good.
Sure.
Yep. See, Jay, you should have known that one too.
Yeah.
And number 1 is the original Star Wars trilogy, which I still can count as a trilogy because it was a standalone story, you know, at the time. Yeah, and then it took them, 17 years. How many years? It took them 16 years to change that. Okay, 16 years. But, so that's how I would do that, yes. So what do you think, based on everything that you've listened to from all of my guests?
Well, how do you think, I'm frustrated that Deep Blue Sea isn't going to be on there, as I'm the only one who had it on their list. And even my Deep Blue Sea co-host didn't put it on his top 5, but that's fine. That's fine.
But it got 4 points because of it.
But I don't think that's going to be enough to get it into the cumulative top 5. How many entries are there? How many different trilogies, in air quotes, were said?
55.
Okay. I'm just going to rattle them off, the ones I think are in the top 5. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, the Cornetto Trilogy, the Godfather Trilogy, and the Die Hard Trilogy. I'm guessing that the next inclusion of the Katzi Trilogy didn't warrant enough points either. Although I would have put good money on him putting that in there. So I'm glad that he lived up to his reputation.
No. In all honesty, most of the ones that fit into this.
Sure. Okay, fair enough.
Actually, I wouldn't even say most. I would say all.
No, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes. So the question is whether in what order.
There we go.
No, not the same order.
Let's see what order
you think they would fit into.
Okay. So it's Star Wars. Which genre was on your side? So Star Wars, Lord of the Rings.
You have to flip Back to the Future and Indiana Jones.
And Dark Knight.
It wasn't my order.
Reading off and remembering what was on your list. That wasn't my order. But sure, okay.
No. No, it's Back to the Future is number three.
Star Wars, Indiana Jones,
number
Lord
one
of the Rings, Dark Knight.
Is Star Wars with 71 points.
That makes
Lord
sense.
Of the Rings with 46 points. Back to the Future with 40 points. Indiana Jones with 24 points. Star and The Dark Knight Wars. With 21 points.
Yeah. So, just for my own personal out of interest, what are the top five actual trilogies? So, Lord of the Rings would then be number one. Then, Back to the Future.
Okay.
Dark Knight.
The Dollars trilogy would be with 19 points.
Number four.
And the Godfather would be with 17 points.
Okay.
You know, which means that most of the movies on this list have less than 10 points.
Sure.
You know, I was quite surprised about some of them. Like, I couldn't believe that only one person actually. Actually, it doesn't even fit in. I was going to say only one person mentioned Toy Story, but Toy Story is not an actual trilogy from that perspective. You are correct.
There we go. Otherwise, it would have been not my number one, probably.
Probably. That's probably true. And you were the only person who also chose the Lego Batman trilogy. You're the only one who chose Monty Python.
Yeah.
You were the only one who chose Deep Blue Sea. Only one who chose the Oceans... the Danny Ocean movies. So Back to the Future is the only one on your list of your top five that someone else actually used in their list.
And, I mean, people could debate most of my choices whether they're actually trilogies or not by my own rules, because there is, of course, the Lego Ninjago movie, which could make that a four set. There is Monty Python's and now something completely different, which could make that a four set as well. Deep Blue Sea is a trilogy. For now,
Back to the Future is that they're not going to be making any more Back to the Future movies.
So I would hope. I'm hoping they make more Deep Blue Seas.
Correct.
I'd love more content.
Yes, but I as of now, it doesn't look like people will. It wasn't on most people's list anyway, so I don't think it makes much of a difference from that perspective.
Sure. Yeah.
Sorry.
We'll get there one day.
One day.
Hey, not your fault.
Well, we're still waiting for that. The one to come out Shark Week.
Yeah, you know, Deep Blue Sea 4, John Pogue.
The promises that you get, I don't know.
But I mean, apparently in November of 2023, a script was potentially completed. Tanya Raymond from Deep Blue Sea 3 said that it's coming, so we'll see.
They might have said it was coming, but we're still waiting for it. You know, I am looking forward to seeing it also. All right. So let us move along to the Jesus Hump Day, which is Samuel L. Jackson movies. So we had a total of 36 different movies that were listed here.
That's respectable. The man has been in a lot of films.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do you think are my top five?
I thought you're a Tarantino fan. You could. There's a world where you've got five Tarantino films in this list.
No, but not in this world.
I've got eight films I need to narrow down. Okay, I'm gonna go top down just because it's gonna be easier for me. I reckon number one is Pulp Fiction. Two is Unbreakable. Three, I'll say Django Unchained. Four, Long Kiss Goodnight. And five, I feel like you like the film A Time to Kill, a film I've never seen. So I'm just going to throw out A Time to Kill as being on your
list. Okay, so you only got three out of the five. Two of them you got in the right slot.
Okay, I'm going to...
The top two you got, I'll tell you that. Number one is Paul.
Sure.
One of the ones that you mentioned is three, four, or five, but it is lower than what you said. And then there are two others that aren't on the list at all.
So A Time to Kill, not on your list. Die Hard with a Vengeance is
probably on your list.
No, okay, wow. So is Django Unchained lower than I suggested?
Nope.
Not on there? Okay, so that means that Long Kiss Goodbye is not the fight. By a process of elimination.
There's nothing wrong with doing it this way also. Yes, you are correct.
Is The Hateful Eight?
Nope.
Is Jackie Brown
is on that list, yes.
Okay, I haven't seen
it. I just rewatched it a few weeks ago, Jackie Brown, and if I would have made this list at the beginning of when I did this season, Jackie Brown would not have been on that list. But when I rewatched it, I was like, wow, he really does a great job here. So that's my number four. So now you just have to guess what my number three is.
Four. Deep Blue Sea.
No.
Jurassic Park. The Incredibles. No.
Jay, you're just not thinking about who I am.
I'm just going through
you my have to favorite think about films. Who I am.
No, I'm thinking about who I am. who are you? See, there's too many films. It's not going to be Shaft. It's not going to be a Marvel film. That takes out half of his films. It's not going to be Legend of Tarzan. I'm just scrolling down his IMDb. Probably not going to be Kingsman. Although he's very good in Kingsman. It's definitely not going to be Robocop. Because that film should be...
You're missing the obvious. I'm a little disappointed in you here. Yes.
I'm missing the obvious. I'm missing the obvious. Snakes on a plane? the obvious feels like a film you've covered. he's not been in any of
nothing I've covered. But if you go back to one of the other lists that we just did, you will definitely figure it out.
Mace Windu, Star Wars.
That is okay, right.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, he's okay in those.
Yeah. I love him in it. I think he's a which cool one? Mother.
Revenge of the Sith?
Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is my favorite.
The worst Star Wars film?
Not even close to being the worst Star Wars film, but that's fine. Yes.
So boring.
Okay. So now what do you think everyone else's choices were?
Okay. Number five, Jurassic Park.
No.
Number four, Jackie Brown. Number three, Django Unchained. Number two, Unbreakable. Number one, Pulp Fiction.
Okay. Again, you got two in the right slot.
Okay, Pulp Fiction, Unbreakable.
And Jackie Brown is on the list. But the other two are not.
That's disappointing. Did Long Kiss Goodnight make it?
No.
A lot of people said.
No.
No? What is wrong with these people?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Again, that's something I just rewatched also. It just missed. It only has 20 points. And the number five has 25 points. So,
I know a lot of people said Black Snake Moan.
No, two people said Blacks. Yeah. Two people said, three people said it. No, sorry.
Oh.
No, what am I talking about? Okay. Five people said it. They had 12 points.
There you go. Okay, sure. Deep Blue Sea.
No, Deep Blue Sea, we've already discussed the fact that you were the, there were three people who mentioned it, so it got 8 points.
That just feels incorrect. I'm sorry. I think you need to check the work. It's on. I'll accept people putting Pulp Fiction and Unbreakable above it. I didn't put Pulp Fiction above it. But
you didn't even put Pulp Fiction on your list.
Blood with a Vengeance? I know I didn't. Yeah, well, if I list all of the Sam Jackson films, then Pulp Fiction would have been on there eventually.
Yeah, okay.
It would have been below Deep Blue Sea. Die Hard with a Vengeance, yes, does that make it into the top five? Okay.
Okay.
Let's put that number
three. Now you just have number five. You have to figure out. So I'll give you a recap. Number one is Pulp Fiction with 81 points, Unbreakable with 56 points, mm-hmm. Die Hard with a Vengeance, 46 points. And then Jackie Brown with 27 points. So what do you think is the number five with 25 points?
Is it Mace Windu again?
No.
It's not The Incredibles.
No, Mace Windu just has a few. He gets a total of 15 points there. There are five people, including myself, who put it on the list.
So what is the last one?
And come on, as you know, Jeanette put it in number one.
Yeah, I know. So it's not going to be one of the Nick Furies because there's too many options for people to pick that would get splintered. Hateful Eight.
Nope. Hateful Eight, there's two people that put it on their list at a total of 5 points.
Would you say this is an obvious one that I'm missing?
I think so.
SWAT.
No.
definitely, it should be Glass. It's Glass. He's very good in Glass, but it's not going to be Glass.
No.
The Negotiator? I watched that recently. That's good.
The Negotiator got 16 points, so it just missed the cutoff also. The Negotiator and Jurassic Park tied at 16 points each.
That's fair.
The Incredibles had 18 points.
Good. I'm glad about that. I don't know what this last one is. I would like you to tell me, please.
Okay, it is Django.
I thought I had that in my top five initially.
Did you?
I said that, yeah. Wait a minute. I said Jurassic Park, Jackie Brown, Django Unchained, Unbreakable, Pulp Fiction. Was the top five that I said.
Okay, so I take that back. You just got the spot wrong. That's what it comes down to. Sorry. Yes. So Django had 25 points. I apologize for that, Jay.
Well, no worries.
I missed that one. So now we will get into. I had a whole bunch of movies that we never ended up using. So I decided I'm gonna now I'm gonna test Jay. We have 13 choices here. 13 movies that were not on this list that were not chosen. So let's start with the first one. From 2011, I'm with Cancer, which I completely understand why.
50-50.
That's right. I understand why they changed the name of that movie. All right. The next one. Okay, that was easy for you. Next one is from 2003. Okay, Piece of Pie.
American Pie, The Wedding?
Yes, very good. That's right. Very good, Jay.
Okay, right, two for two.
You're not going to do that well, because I know what some of these movies are. I'll be very surprised if you do.
I've got two of them. That's I'm happy.
There you go.
I've got any of them.
Okay, from 1999, Take It Like a Man.
It's not Deep Blue Sea.
I know.
Take It Like a Man.
Again, I'm very glad they changed the name of this movie.
There's a lot of options for 90. It's like American Pie, the first one.
I don't know. No.
Okay. I would take a hint.
Directed by Kimberly Pierce.
Not who she is.
Okay. One of the stars of the movie is Chloe Sevigny.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I think I'm gonna need another supporting actor.
Peter Sarsgaard.
99. It's early for those two. I'm going to need another actor, I'm afraid.
Here, I'll just give you a hint before I give you the name of the actor, the actress.
Sure.
The lead actress won an Oscar for her role in this movie.
The acting were in 99. It's not going to be American Beauty, because that was actor. No, I'm gonna need the name.
Okay, Hilary Swank.
Oh, is Boys Don't Cry? Yeah, I forget that was 99.
Yes. So again,
yes, that's a good title change.
Very good title change.
Ugh.
Exactly. All right, the next one is from the year 2000. The original title was American Girls. And this was used. This was something that had been used in this game before.
You use Toy Story a lot in this game. It had a lot of alternative
titles. And once you would have listened, and once you know, now that you've heard yesterday's episode, you know exactly how many Toy Stories there were. There were tons.
Sure. American Girls. I feel like I Crossroads. I don't know. I'm just going to throw out a name and we'll move on.
No. one of the stars is Eliza Dushku.
Eliza Dushku? In 2000? Roughly, that was when she was making Buffy. What's Eliza Dushku doing? What films was she in? I can't think of anything right now. Can I have another actor, please?
Or director is Peyton Reed. Don't give it away. I don't know if that's going to help you.
Ant Girl. So let's see. No, I don't know what he was doing back then. Oh,
bring it on. Very good. You see, there you go.
Yes, he did bring it on. He did bring it on. Yeah, because the guy who did Bring It On is doing Ant-Man.
Right. Just to give you a recap of yesterday when we talked about Toy Story. So there are 7 Toy Story original titles that we had: Wind Up Heroes, To Infinity and Beyond, Spurs and Rockets, Bring Me the Arm of Buzz Lightyear.
That was my
favorite. Made in Taiwan, Toys in the Hood. And You Are a Toy. Yeah, I think it's a good one. I understand why they would use Toy Story, but still. Yeah.
Toy Story is the best title. That's the one that makes the most sense. Yeah.
So. Yes. All right. So the next one actually has 2 that I'm going to give you. There's 2 alternate titles that we haven't used through this yet. Okay, so this is a movie from 2008, and the 2 other alternate names are either Cheese or Chocolate Orange.
2008. Cheese or Chocolate Orange. Cheese.
And we've had one of these before. That's actually a great guess, but it's not.
Just trying to think of food based films from around 2000.
Yeah, it's not food based.
That was 2006.
The other one that we had through the course of this season was Slusho for this movie.
Oh, Cloverfield.
Yes. Which again, I have absolutely no idea why they would name this movie either Cheese or chocolate orange.
Slusho at least makes sense with the marketing. The cheese and no, ridiculous.
Exactly. Nope. Yeah. Okay. The next one's a pretty easy one from 1999. The original title was Cruel Inventions.
Cruel Intentions.
Exactly. I didn't use it. I didn't use it for that very reason. It's too simple. Yeah.
It's not an alternative title. It's a typo.
Could be. Okay. Next one is also from 1999. Dairy Queens.
Dairy Queens, 99. Scanning everything I can think of from 99 that could be either like based around fast food or cows, and nothing is coming up.
Denise Richards is in this movie.
No, I got nothing. Oh, Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Very good. I'm surprised you got it on that one. Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's a great film.
Okay. All right, here's one that's a fake title for a movie from 2014. Fiona's Letter.
Oh, I hate these. Fake titles. You could just say anything. You just say it's a film from 2014.
Fiona's Letter.
Godzilla.
No.
Give
John it. Lithgow was in it.
Was that Rise of the Planet of the Apes?
No. That was 2013, I believe.
No, it's close. Okay.
But that's a great guess.
I'll take
but,
another
but
clue.
Think of him in a similar type of
I'll take another,
think of him
another
in a
clue then.
similar type of character.
It's too early. Interstellar. Is that too early for Interstellar? Did it? Okay.
Yeah. Interstellar. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Here's another easy one. That the reason I didn't use it. 1977, a movie called Saturday Night.
I'm gonna guess they changed the title after the lead character became ill with some kind of fever.
Yes, you are correct. All right. Here's another one that I'm not sure which version of the movie it refers to. So it could be either for the 1958 version or the 1988 version of a movie called The Glob.
Glob. Sure. The Glob.
Yeah. Okay. Now we've two more to go, and these I have high hopes for you that you're going to get them. Okay. So the first one is from 2000. The original title was Kingdom of the Sun.
Gladiator?
No.
No. Kingdom of the Sun? 2000? 2000? What came out in 2000? For some reason, just the year 2000 is like a real memory hole.
Mm-hmm.
For me, in terms of what so
the
came
lead,
out.
The
like
lead,
99 I've got,
the
2001
lead,
I've got, 2000.
The lead character is played by David Spade.
Then I haven't seen this film.
I have a feeling you have, because
Joe Dirt.
No, because it's
Emperor's New Groove.
Yes.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
I have no.
Okay.
But I am aware of it, but that's one of the Disney films that I missed.
Okay, it's a blind spot for Jay.
Yeah, I have Disney Plus. I could be watching it right now. I could have watched this like every day for the past year and a half.
There you go.
But I've never seen it.
Okay. So. And the final one, this is a movie that I know you enjoy a lot. From 1973, the original title was Ritual.
Films do I enjoy from 1973?
Yes.
It's going to be one of those films where I don't know. I like it, but I don't know what year it came out. 73? Ritual? How relevant of a title is Ritual?
Very relevant.
How was this film? Jeez. I don't know what this
and, is. And you were on a podcast about it.
Wait, hang on. I was a guest on this podcast? Or just did this
podcast? I believe so, yes.
No, which one? Was the guest?
You were a guest. It's very possible you also hosted, but it might have been Movie of the Month at some point. There is that possibility.
So it's a Lambcast.
No, again, I'm talking about something not on the Lamb. It's possible that you also did it on the Lamb.
Talking about? From 1973. Yes. Oh, God. I can't think of anything that came out. I'm going to require... a small hint, please.
A small hint. Well, the hints I got here are big, big hints. That's the problem.
Okay.
It was directed by Robin Hardy.
Require a slightly larger hint.
Christopher Lee was in the movie.
Christopher Lee. Is it the Man with the Golden Gun? No.
No, that was 74.
Was he in before then? What is going on?
You told me that you were a guest on this Movies by Minute podcast.
I don't can I have another actor, please?
Edward Woodward.
Oh, the Wicker Man. Okay, yeah, I was on Tony's podcast. I feel like, yeah, I don't think of that as a 73 film. I'm not a huge fan of the Wicker Man. It's fine. I like it well enough.
I hated it.
You're not a horror fan, so that makes sense.
correct. That's true. Awesome.
Yeah, the Wicker Man's good. Tony's podcast is excellent. I recommend it. It's just called the Wicker Man podcast, I think.
Yes.
Tony actually was recently a guest on Deep Museum, the podcast. on upcoming episode.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So the final thing that we will deal with on this episode of this season is the average size of episodes and how many hours I've spent speaking about this.
The this thing movie. I always forget we do.
So where do you think it ranks? This is my seventh season. Yeah. So there you go.
So you've had a script to do with this one, which means that adds time wise, episode wise. I'm going to say, in terms of episode length, I was just looking up the other films you've covered. This is going to be, I was just going to say, it's the same as Die Hard 2. Everything's the same as Die Hard 2, episode length. And total film coverage length is the same as Die Hard 2. Whatever the stats are for that. Which is a cop-out answer.
It's a big cop-out answer. The Die Hard 2 and It's a Wonderful Life both had the average episode was between 37 and 38 minutes.
Yes, so that
Die Hard 2 was the longest that I've done. They were 37.85, and It's a Wonderful Life was 37.12 or 0.13.
Let's say that Die Hard with Vengeance,
34.99, and I'm taking into consideration that today's episode is an hour.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. So okay. It's actually ranked. It's third from last. Basically, The Great Escape is the shortest, with episodes being close to 23 minutes on average. Then Planes, Trains, Automobiles being 33 minutes, and then this one's a very close to 35. It's
34.99. Nice.
When Harry Met Sally, the episodes were 35.83. So you know, we're talking about almost a minute more for the episodes of When Harry Met Sally than for the ones in this movie. Which means that this season, the number of minutes are 4,514 minutes.
So about 75 hours?
Very good. Very good, Jay. Yeah. Which means that it is the third, it's the fourth highest. It's basically the middle ground between all of these movies. The movie that we talked about the most was It's a Wonderful Life. We had 81 hours. Followed by Die Hard, which was 79.865. Followed by Die Hard.
I feel like you're going to have a new winner soon.
Followed by Die Hard 2, which was 78.23 minutes. And then we have this movie, 75.23. Followed by basically, the next jump between Die Hard 3 down to the next movie is to The Great Escape, which was 66.91. So we're talking about a total of 9 hour difference between what we talked about here in Die Hard with a Vengeance and The Great Escape. Below that, we have When Harry Met Sally, which was at 57 minutes. Again, shorter movies, less hours to talk about. And then rounding out the bottom is Planes, Trains, Automobiles with 52.4. Hours, 52.4 hours. So yeah, the latest one, which we'll reveal shortly. Right now, the average episode is 34.04 minutes, which would put it slightly below this movie. But you know, I've only recorded 25.
The one thing we need to do before announcing what that is. I need your rankings of the films you've covered so far. You update this every time. I don't know, what is your top five? Because previously, you had Die Hard 2 was knocked off the list by It's a Wonderful Life. So that's number six. Planes, Trains was number five. When Harry Met Sally was number four. It's a Wonderful Life number three. The Great Escape number two. And Die Hard number one. Has that list changed?
It's changed slightly. It has changed slightly. Especially since I know what I'm doing for season 8, which will probably obliterate many of the things on this list, but that's, you know, push everything down. But when I look at them now from a fresh eyes of how I would rank all of them. So right now I would put When Harry Met Sally at number 5. Oh wait, you want a ranking of all 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? Okay.
That would be fine. So okay, number so cool. This movie is actually number 7 on my list.
Yeah, I figured it would be
because you like it. Die Hard 2 is number 6. When Harry Met Sally is number 5. It's a Wonderful Life is number 4. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles is number 3. The Great Escape is number 2. And Die Hard is number 1. And, you know, that will change. That my top 5 will definitely change when I finish season 8. When I need to...
What happened to make Planes, Trains jump up 2 whole spaces?
I have watched it again. Yeah. I've probably seen it like two times since we've discussed it, maybe. So yeah. Again, sure. It's an arbitrary list. It's the idea of things can change. You know, it's very fluid.
Oh, absolutely.
It means absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
My big question is: will Die Hard lose its top spot at the end of season 8? And I don't know the answer to that right now. I'm starting to think that maybe
I would be surprised. Before we had this conversation, I would have been surprised if it did. So I would have thought Die Hard was pretty secure at that top spot, but now,
well, again, it's now the insight. I don't know. We'll there's see. Also the whole idea of the insight that I gain while doing my recordings. You know, the different people I talk to and stuff like that. And the analysis of the movie also changes the way. Thankfully, every one of these movies I've enjoyed more because I've done it movies by minute. So, you know, there's nothing that I've, you know, lost faith in the movie because I've done movies by minute. So because my season 8 movie is already very high on my list and probably would be either 1 or 2 on this list, you know, I'm just predicting that there's a possibility that based on the conversations that I've had and some of the interviews that I've had with people who've worked on the production and also, you know, my analysis of the movie that I've done so far, I have a feeling that it might surpass and it might make it to number 1. But, you know, we'll have to wait 169 days to find, or 170 days to find that out. Yeah, so Jay, are you interested in knowing what the next season's going to be?
I have an idea. I think I could probably guess if you gave me an alternative title.
I don't think there are any. I don't think there are any alternative titles for that movie, which sort of makes sense because I don't think that there anything would do justice without doing that. So just a reveal for everybody. Please come back. Well, actually, you know what? Before we do that, I want to thank everyone who's participated in this season. You know, a lot of you out there, you know, everyone listening, and obviously to all my guests and everyone who sends me comments, even Jay, who tells me that I forgot to beep things out, which it's
that much more often than you might think.
You know, in order, I want to thank everyone else. So I want to thank Chris Henry, David Brook, Nick Rehack, J-Dub, Eddie O'Hare, Jim O'Kane, Heather Baxendale, Neil McGowan, Sean German, John Parker, Alan Sanders, Lisa Leahy.
Leahy.
Did I get it right this time? Leahy. Every single freaking time. Every time I get it wrong. Lisa knows I get it wrong, so that's fine. DJ Valentine, Aaron Newirth, Richard Kirkham, Todd Liebenau, Travis Bowe, Dave Pallas, and once again, on that same, on one of those episodes with Dave, you know, Sean German and Niall McGowan for joining for that one episode. Then I'd also want to thank Mark Hoffmeyer, Jeanette Ward, Matthew Simpson, Jay Bam, Brian, Josh Horowitz, Eric Paul, Jason Sturczyk, and obviously Jay Cluett for bookending this season. So I will be back again tomorrow with Jay for our next season. That's right, for season 8. And season 8, we will be doing 169 episodes. We will be foobarring our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning classic, even though it didn't win Best Picture, which it should have, Saving Private Ryan. I've got some great guests lined up. I've got some historians. I've got someone who does tours of Normandy itself who's going to be a guest. I've gotten in contact with a few people on the production of the movie that have agreed to be interviewed. Hopefully they will follow through on their promise of agreeing to be on. And, you know, I'm looking forward to a great another season breaking down a movie minute by minute. This has been so much fun doing this. And, you know, it always excites me to start a new season and go through a new movie and, you know, look at things. I mean, again, everyone who looks at the list of movies that I've done, they're all pretty diverse, you know, when I'm not doing a Die Hard movie. And we'll see what the future brings for season 9 after we finish season 8. This, you know, we'll be starting it tomorrow. We have 169 episodes, and the finale. So Jay will be back also at the finale, which will drop on D-Day itself, June 6th, 2025. So hopefully, everyone listening will continue to listen, and you know, we'll have another 34, 35 weeks of discussions of a great movie. Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
There's a choice. I love it. You're continuing to pick films I love. I was very happy that you made that choice, and I didn't influence it at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not this time.
Rob's like, give me a list of which film should I pick? I was like, well, here's my ranking that you should do them in. Here's the order you should do. Stand by me, bottom of the list. Everything else, pick that.
Yes, but I'm very grateful for your advice about doing Saving Private Ryan. I am so far, after recording 26 episodes up until now, I'm very pleased with what I have so far, and I look forward to you know, moving on and finishing it, you know, continuing through it. So far we've had some great discussion.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Look forward to hearing them.
Is there anything else you want? I know what I want to say. There's a few other trivia tidbits about this movie that I noticed that were neglected to be mentioned. So from IMDb, one of the things that they have there is that Jonathan Hensley, the writer of this movie, was actually detained by the FBI after he completed the script for the film because they claimed he knew too much about the Federal Gold Reserve. And, you know, when he was being, I guess, interviewed by the FBI, he basically told them that most of the information he got was about an article that was written in the New York Times. So that, I found that to be quite interesting. In this movie, they use 14 dump trucks. In actuality, how many dump trucks do you think they would really need in order to steal all the gold that's in the Federal Reserve?
Jesus. There's a lot of unknowns in that question. How much gold is in there? How much gold can the dump truck carry? That's the two, I guess.
480.
That was close. Yes. Okay.
That's a lot. That's a lot. The idea for the water bottle riddle came from a problem that Jonathan Hensley had when he was on an exam that he wasn't able to figure out. So he decided to put that into the movie.
Wow.
That he didn't know it, you're saying?
That was pretty dumb.
Okay. Now I know that you're a Rennie Harlan fan and fan of The Long Kiss Goodnight. Do you know a connection, or do you know three connections between that movie and this movie?
Samuel Jackson is in both of them.
That is one of them.
He has dialogue in both of them, and he gets injured in both of them. Samuel Jackson.
I'm going to make it even easier for you. Movie and in The Long Kiss Goodnight.
I'm going to just call up the cast list of one of these films and try and work it out from there, because otherwise I don't know. Because Gina Davis is not in both of them.
No.
Neither is David Morse.
Right.
Craig Bierker. Probably not. Let's see. So, Sam Jackson we have. Brian Cox was not in Die with a Vengeance. I don't know. Larry King was not in Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Okay, so I'll make this easy. No, I don't know. It's basically it's the entire Hennessy family. So in The Long Kiss Goodnight, you know, Mitch Hennessy is I guess either divorced or in the process of a divorce. I'm trying to remember which it is. So his wife is played by Sharon Washington, who's in this movie as Officer Jane. She's basically Cobb's assistant. And Edwin Hodge plays his son.
Wow, that is good trivia. Yes. I like
that. Yeah, I like that too. I do. Okay, a few more little things. First of all, Bruce Willis has stated that this is his least favorite of all five Die Hard movies.
Wait a minute.
I've heard it from Bruce Willis's mouth, but I don't know. Apparently, he stated that he didn't like this movie that much because it was more of a buddy comedy rather than an action movie, like the previous.
Die Hard 5 isn't a movie.
I'm just telling you what it says on IMDb. I take no credit for it at all. Yes.
I need this fact checked.
Okay, and sure. You can go and fact check it if you want. That's fine. That's perfectly okay. You can come back at the end of next season.
Okay.
If we're right or wrong.
If sure, wrong. I will definitely do that.
Okay, now one of the things that at a certain point through the course of this season, I stopped talking about the script because the script really deviated from the movie itself. So there are a lot of episodes where we don't discuss the script. I just wanted to give a quick synopsis of what happens in the original script, which I'm very glad that they cut it out. The bottom line is that Zeus and John chase after Simon and Targo, and they finally get to the wharf where they have it. And what they're doing at that point is they're actually destroying the gold and the trucks. They're putting them through like a I don't even know the word for it. They're completely destroying all of it. And John comes up with the idea, and he says to Simon that the whole reason that you're doing this, you know, is because why would you do this? And Simon tells him that he's only keeping some of the gold for himself, and this way it will raise the value of the gold that they have if they destroy the rest of the gold.
Yeah. So that's.
Goldfinger
logic.
And then Zeus, more or less. And then Zeus basically has John's ankle gun on his ankle, and Zeus ends up shooting Targo, and then John and Simon have a big fight, and during their fight, John is getting his butt kicked, just like in every one of these movies, which happens, and then John gets the upper hand for a second. And is able to strangle and kill Simon, which again, I don't really like. I didn't like it at all the way that they did that. The bomb in the school was actually just sand instead of being plastique. You know, there's none of that syrup or anything like that because they were just using regular C4
pancake sand.
And exactly. And there's a point where this I did discuss with where they blew up a toll booth. They like threw a bomb into a toll booth, and destroyed the toll booth. So the producers originally planned on blowing up a toll booth structure for a scene in the movie, and Mario Cuomo, who was the governor at the time, was planning on eliminating those toll booths, and he himself even volunteered to push the switch. But the local residents didn't like the idea of them blowing it up for a movie, and they ended up getting that stopped. Now, the bomb, the suitcase bomb in the original script is not used to blow up the dam. It's used, John puts it in one of the trucks that's being destroyed, and that's how he actually distracts Simon, you know, in order for Zeus to be able to shoot Targo and stuff like that. Again, not very good. You know, one of the things that I've discussed over the last few weeks is I'm not happy with any of the finales. You know, any of the three finales of this movie. I guess the best one is probably this one, the one in the movie. But that's not saying much because it you know, as we picked through it over the last week and a half, there are a lot of problems there too.
I think it says a lot about how good the rest of the film is that this film is so highly regarded despite having a crappy ending.
Yes.
Because
That's
yeah,
true.
I would always like fall asleep at or just forget the end of this film. Like the last 10 minutes, I still couldn't really tell you exactly what happens.
And that's understandable. And one of the things that you know, we've discussed over the last few weeks is the fact that what the hell is Samuel L. Jackson's character doing there? You know, like, why would they bring him with them?
Yeah, well, I mean,
Makes absolutely no sense.
I watched True Lies for the first time in a while recently, and the climax of that film, Arnold hears that they've got his daughter kidnapped, and so he just like runs off and is like bye and leaves and goes and sorts out himself and doesn't take Jamie Lee Curtis with him, and you feel like he should have taken his wife, who's just like helped him with a mission and knows all his life now, should have come along as well. So that. This kind of feels like the opposite of that, where like he takes Sam Jackson with him and maybe shouldn't have. So like that's
Interesting.
yeah.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Makes
That's
sense.
where my mind just went.
I understand. All right. So, Jay, would you like to tell people where they can find Jay Cluett?
Yes, so Deep Blue Sea, the podcast, is my podcast where we talk about Deep Blue Sea. My co-host Mark and I, you'll be familiar with Mark if you've listened to this podcast before or if you've heard me on it, because I say this every time. We've covered the entire Deep Blue Sea trilogy scene by scene. There's all three of the films, and we've decided that we then did Con Air, the podcast. We talked about Con Air scene by scene. You joined us for a chapter of that. And we got to the Con Air and was like, we just want to talk about Deep Blue Sea again. So that's what we're doing. We're talking about Deep Blue Sea again. On a previous episode season, you and a guest were like, I don't understand why anybody would talk about a film again, minute by minute. And I laughed when I heard that because we had just started doing the same thing again. But we're having a good time and finding all new stuff to talk about with different guests. And we just realized talking about this beautiful shark-filled masterpiece that is Deep Blue Sea and interspersing that with other similar Deep Blue Sea adjacent films. This week we have the aforementioned Tony Kogan will be out on this week's podcast where we're talking about Deep Blue Sea Chapter 5. Last week you would have heard us talk about the swimming pool scene in Strangers Pray at Night. Next week is our Halloween episode talking about Night Swim, the film with the haunted swimming pool and Wyatt Russell and Kerry Condon, where there's something's wrong with the
All
pool.
right.
That's a fun time. So that's the kind of thing we talk about. Wet horror movies generally.
Understandable.
Sharks or not.
Understandable. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moveroundminute.com. And if you feel like sending me an email, you can send it to moveroundminute@moverob.net. Jay, once again, thank you very much for joining me, especially for this special episode. I'll be back again with you tomorrow.
Sure. See you then.
And until then, I'm gonna say to everyone yippee-ki-yay, but you know, tomorrow it won't be a yippee-ki-yay anymore. It'll be something else. So
It
until
will.
tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mother Fubar.
The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.